Hey friend, welcome to Rise and Shine with Emily C. I'm your host. This podcast is all about rising from the ashes of your past trauma so that you can step into motherhood with a fierceness and confidence you didn't know was possible and become a generational game changer. I'm so excited that you've decided to include me on your journey. Together, we're going to rise and shine. Let's go. Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Rise and Shine. I'm your host, Emily Cleghorn. Today, I am so excited because I have a guest who has walked the path that you and I are walking now, whatever part of the journey that you find yourself in. I'm sure that you will be able to relate on some level to our guest today. I'm talking with Anne, and thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. It's fun to be here.
Yeah. So I was reading your bio, and you made quite the discovery one morning when you were 19. Can you share a little bit about your story and the discovery that you made and then how that impacted the rest of your life?
Okay, well, I'll start at the beginning a little bit more because it wasn't just that one discovery. Yeah. So I was actually born with my right foot up against my right shin. So the first 6 weeks of my life, I had physical therapy. And then I was handed over for adoption. So that's a trauma, right? You're mm-hmm. actually leaving everything you know behind into a new family. So I had that. And then when I was 6 months old, we moved to Barbados. Then we moved to Sierra Leone in West Africa. And we had a house fire while we were there. And I woke up one morning and actually heard the flames. I didn't know there were flames, but I opened my eyes and saw the flames coming in through my bedroom wall. So that was another trauma. Mm-hmm. And when I was nine, we were living in Hong Kong, and I was sent to boarding school in England, and I was sent to my brother's boarding school, which was a boys' boarding school. So I was the first girl boarder at a boys' boarding school, and I was teased mercilessly for 2 years. So there's more trauma. Mm-hmm. Then during my teenage years, both of my parents became alcoholics. My dad already had anger issues. I was very used to walking on eggshells around the house. But, you know, it got more intense through those years. And then when I was 19, I woke up one morning and found my mother dead on the bathroom floor. So that was another trauma. And mm-hmm. I just dealt with them all the same way because we get programmed in those early years of life on how to mm-hmm. deal with things. Mm-hmm. And my family's way was just to suppress it and move on. So mm-hmm. that's what I did. I just kept doing that and just carried on with life.
And how did that work for you?
Well, it didn't work so well. I actually had a lot of digestive issues in my 20s, and I did a lot of like dietary changes to try and help things, a lot of cleanses, different diets, fasts. I was macrobiotic, vegetarian, vegan, live foods, all these different things to try and soothe some things that were really internal things that I hadn't mm-hmm. actually dealt with. But, you know, they felt good for a little while. They felt like I had some control. And, you know, I came out to the States when I was 21. I became a software engineer. I got married and then I had kids. Mm-hmm. And I was not the calm mother on the inside that I really wanted to be. I'd see these other mothers at school that look so peaceful. And it's like, I wanted to feel that way so badly. And then mm-hmm. at one point during that time, my boys were little, maybe something like 2 and 6, I'm not entirely sure, but I had a business altercation with a couple of other mothers at my boys' school. And they told me I'd done something wrong. And they were these self-confident, self-assured, authority type women. And I was this scared mother on the inside, and they told me mm-hmm. I'd done something wrong. And my mind just spun out of control. I just I couldn't let it go. I went over and over what they'd said, what I'd said, what had happened. And it was like nearly 3 days before I could sleep again and start to move on with my life. And it was at that point that I realized I don't think this is normal. I don't think a normal person would react this way. But I also realized it felt a little bit like how I would react when my dad, right, who was my authority mm-hmm. figure, would tell me I'd done something wrong. The same mm-hmm. kind of thing would happen. So I had that little inkling there that maybe there was something from childhood that I hadn't looked at yet and that was still affecting me.
Yeah, it's interesting how things from your childhood can trickle through and influence things in your adult life, in motherhood. And you don't even realize that the root cause of that thing that's going on in your adulthood is stemming from the thing in your childhood. It's been mind-blowing for me. Literally mind-blowing. Because when my daughter was born and all of these things just started coming up like popcorn, they were there on the surface, and then there's this baby and it all just starts popping. So how did that journey begin for you? So you had an inkling, and what was next?
Well, luckily for me, sometime in that time frame, and I don't remember how, you know, the time exactly, but I went to a doctor's appointment. And I don't remember why I went there, but it was nothing to do with memories or emotions. I know that much, because he was a holistic MD. Mm-hmm. But he happened to recognize that I was more stressed than I should be in the situation I was in, right? Because mm-hmm. I was a stay-at-home mother with two young boys. Now, I know that can be incredibly stressful. He just recognized I was more stressed than I should be. And he asked me on a scale of 0 to 10 what my stress level was. And I said 8. And then he asked me why. And it was that question that made me realize, oh, it's from finding my mother when I was 19. And like, I'm now in my late 30s. And it was because the tears from that event were still just under the surface all these years later. And mm-hmm. he happened to know this technique that's called EFT, mm-hmm. which is short for emotional freedom technique. And it's also called tapping, because mm-hmm. we're tapping on different places in our body as we're talking through something. So he tapped with me about my mother's death for about 15 minutes. And I walked away from that appointment being able to tell the story of her death in my mind without the tears there anymore. And that was the first wow. time I realized that we hold those memories and those emotions physically in our body, and that we can let them go. So that was eye-opening for me. So I went home that day and I went online and looked up EFT, because mm-hmm. it was given away by Gary Craig, who developed it for free. So anyone can go online and learn how to do it. It's very easy. It's very simple. You can learn it in 5 to 10 minutes. And I wanted to check out that it really worked, because I said I was a software engineer. I like to know things work before I actually invest time in them. And mm-hmm. I wasn't sure that one-time experience with the doctor was a fluke or not. Who knows? But I wanted to try it out. And at the time, I had a 17-year-old cat at home. Mm-hmm. And we'd just been told that his kidneys were starting to fail and he needed to have a daily saline shot. And mm-hmm. I was going to have to be the one who gave him the shot. But the first time I gave him a shot, my hand was shaking so badly. I was so afraid of giving him this shot and of hurting him that I wasn't going to be able to do it every day. It was just too much. So I thought, well, I'll try out this technique. So I did. I tapped. I tapped about my hand shaking, about my fear of hurting my cat, and about all the memories I had from all the injections I'd had over the years, which was many because we lived around the world. And the next day, when I gave him the shot, the needle just slid right in. All that fear that had been living inside of me the day before had gone. And that mm-hmm. was when I realized two things. First, I realized EFT is deceptively powerful. It doesn't mm-hmm. look like it's doing much, but it really is. And that's when I realized that the freedom is on the other side of that fear. And that's where I wanted to be. And I was mm-hmm. determined to change, because I so wanted to be that calm mother on the inside. So I started using it every day. I started noticing when I was becoming emotional, which in itself, right, it's not an easy thing to do, because we tend to get caught up in our emotions, especially when we've got so much going on in the household, right? Kids, mm-hmm. running around and doing whatever. But I found I could do it maybe once a day to begin with. And then I would tap. I would tap and just bring myself back to a calm place. Mm-hmm. And I would just do it more and more each day. I'd catch myself earlier each day. And I could tell things were changing and I wanted more. So mm-hmm. I wrote down every emotional memory I could think of from my childhood. And I tapped through one each day for about an hour to an hour and a half each night. Now, I know we don't always have that time frame, but my husband was with the kids at that point. And I just went into a different room and I tapped for about an hour to an hour and a half on one of those memories each night. And over that period of months, because it was several sheets of paper, mm-hmm. over that period of months, I could tell that my mind was becoming quiet and peaceful. I was becoming less reactionary, which was really nice. But mm-hmm. I realized that my mind had been really busy and it had been really negative and very judgmental. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't liked that, but I didn't know I could do anything about it. But it was becoming quiet. And I realized that the voices or the words that I had been using in my mind to judge other people had been my dad's words. But I couldn't see that until they were gone. And I could look back and see that they had been in my mind and that they were no longer there. And things just started to change, right? Because I was more peaceful. So I was attracting more peace around me.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. How did it change? How did it impact your boys when you started going on this healing journey yourself? Yet you could see, you could feel the changes within yourself. How did that overflow into the rest of your family, your boys, and your relationship with your husband?
Okay, so there's two aspects there. So I believe that we're a signal, right? As I've gone mm-hmm. through this journey, and EFT was just the first step on my journey, mm-hmm. or steps afterwards. But I realized that we are really a signal. The mm-hmm. whole of us is a signal, and we're emitting a signal and we're attracting back based on our signal, mm-hmm. right? So if I'm feeling really frustrated right now, I'm mm-hmm. going to get more frustration in my future. If mm-hmm. I'm really feeling peaceful right now, I'm going to get more peace in my future. Mm-hmm. So I was changing my base signal so that I was more peaceful on an ongoing basis. So I was attracting more peace from them, right? So the whole thing became more peaceful. So that's one aspect. The other thing is I use EFT with my boys, right? We can mm-hmm. tap on ourselves, right, to bring ourselves back to peace. But if it's okay, you know, if you've got a young child, you can actually tap on them as well. So like when my younger son would have nightmares, I would go and I would just tap on him on the specific places that we tap with EFT. I would just tap. I wouldn't need to use any words because he was already feeling those feelings in his body. Mm-hmm. So I would just tap a few rounds. And after a few rounds, he'd say, okay, mom, I can go back to sleep now. And I would just leave him and he would go straight back to sleep. So that there's two aspects there. And I actually have quite a good story about that. With a younger child, one mm-hmm. time I was on a flight and there was a mother, well, actually parents with their young boy, young baby, and he was screaming. And you know how people in airplanes mm-hmm. don't like that. So he just kept screaming as we got up to altitude. So when we were allowed to take our seatbelts off, I actually went and asked the father if he would swap places with me for a few minutes, and he was okay with that. Then I asked the mother if it would be okay if I just tapped gently on her son, who was still screaming, and I did, and I just tapped gently on him. He was maybe something like 3 or 4 months old. Mm-hmm. I just tapped gently on his points, and he fell asleep in his mother's arms.
Wow.
He had just been stressed, right, mm-hmm. from the flight, probably everything that went on before. He'd missed his nap, right? He couldn't fall asleep, but the tapping relaxed his nervous system enough that he could just fall asleep. So yeah, some of the people on the plane clapped, right, because they were so relieved that this child had come to sleep.
Yeah, when a parent with a small child comes on an airplane and you walk down the aisle, you can see the faces. You can see the faces like, oh gosh.
Yeah, gosh, I wish I had known EFT when my boys were that small, right? And mm-hmm. going on airplanes and yeah.
Yeah. So what would you recommend for the mama who is very early on in her healing journey? Maybe she hasn't started yet. Maybe she's just thinking about, well, I know my life can be better, but I'm not sure what I want to do. She's feeling very hesitant. What would you recommend for that mama?
Does she have children already?
Yes, she does.
She does. Well, I would recommend learning EFT, right? Mm-hmm. It's very simple, very easy to use. But if you can't even go there, right? Even taking a deep breath, mm-hmm. remembering that we're a signal, right? That really helped me on my journey. I would ask myself, how am I feeling right now? And do I want to feel this way again in the future? And my answer was normally no. So then I have to do something about my signal right now. Mm-hmm. So if I'm feeling really stressed, what can I do to actually come back to peace? So even taking mm-hmm. a deep breath is going to make a difference. But to me, EFT, it's actually the physical aspect of tapping on mm-hmm. the body that actually changes the signal. So I would highly recommend learning that. You can always just go to the bathroom for a couple of minutes, tap there, if you don't want to tap in front of other people. But that changes your signal in the moment. But what I wish I had done, I wish I had gone back and done my childhood, right? Released all the tension mm-hmm. from those early years, so that once I became a mother, those first few years would have been so much more peaceful, even in my physical body. So let me just, mm-hmm. if it's okay, go through my second and third step to show what this is actually doing. So what I realized that EFT is doing, it's actually opening up the subconscious mind. Mm-hmm. So in that process, you start to remember more of your childhood mm-hmm. and it's expanding our awareness. So I started to become aware of my emotions during the day. And mm-hmm. then I kept going. And then I became aware of the physical sensations underneath the emotions, mm-hmm. right? Because we know the words sad, right? I'm sad, or I'm angry, or I'm frustrated. But what we're actually feeling is tension inside of our bodies. Mm-hmm. And we can become aware of where we're holding that tension, because we actually train our children, right? We'll see them in a particular posture and we'll say, oh, you're angry, or you're sad, because we're seeing how they're holding their body. Mm-hmm. But we're actually dissociating them from the physical sensations when we do that. So we're kind of training them not to feel the feelings, but to give it a word. Mm-hmm. So this process is reversing that. So we can become aware of those physical sensations. And once I was aware of them, I didn't tap so much. All I did was actually feel those feelings and allow them to be felt. They were very used to being suppressed, so they would mm-hmm. kind of hide from me. So I actually really had to focus on them and actually hold my breath and actually hold myself like a statue, not move, and just feel where that fear was in my stomach or my solar plexus, and just mm-hmm. allow it to be. It sounds such an easy thing to do. It's hard to put into words, but it is possible to do.
It sounds easy, however, it is not necessarily.
No, especially if they're used to being suppressed. Yeah, I do have a video on my YouTube channel that you can go and look at and experience it a little bit more if you want to. But once I did that more and more, I became aware inside my body. I was actually mm-hmm. able to put my awareness inside my body. And then I would release tension at a deeper level, which is mm-hmm. the connective tissue. So eventually I could actually release tension inside my head. But the thing is, once I got inside my head, there was so much pain and tension that I didn't know was there, right? I did not have that depth of awareness before, but it had been inside of me for 50 years, pulling mm-hmm. me off balance, right? Mm-hmm. Literally and emotionally, until I was able to actually deal with it, feel it, let it go. But if I had dealt with that, you know, 20, 30 years ago, I would have been such a different mother. So if I had gone back and done that early work, my childhood work, just release all the tension from all those traumas, things would have been very different. So if I could do it again, I would definitely do that.
Yeah. Yeah. This journey, I'm learning. I'm still very, very early in my journey. I'm 5 years in. So I'm learning that there are bits and pieces that we are trained from very early on in our lives, just through society and what happens in your relationships with your parents, that all of this stuff, beliefs about emotions and how you handle your emotions and all of these different bits and pieces of the puzzle, they all get passed down to you. You inherit them without asking. And so through me working through these things, the goal is to not hand them over to my kids. Because if they don't have to deal with the burden of my lifetime of feelings, or their father's lifetime of feelings, or their grandparents' life, that's a lot of lifetimes that's being downloaded, for lack of a better term, to them without their consent.
Right. The thing is, most of it is unconscious to us. We do not realize that we are programmed, and we do not realize we're programming our children. Mm-hmm. So doing this work opens up the awareness, so you realize how much is programming. And it sounds like you're starting to become aware of that programming, but so much of it is just unconscious. So we're just not aware of it. So doing this work will open up that awareness and make you become much more aware. So yes, if you can do that, you know, the first 7 years is where we're a sponge and we just take it all in. So the earlier you can do it in your child's life, the more beneficial it is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something like 90 to 95% of your mind is your subconscious. That's a massive amount of your life that you are not even aware of.
Right. Now, huge. I would be interested to know how much mine is. I suspect it's not that much because I have done so much opening, right? And I put my awareness now inside my bones, right, which is a really deep level. And I know I've had my brain waves, you know, examined and have more gamma than probably I did before. But part of that process is realizing how much more depth there is to life than we think. Right. So as our awareness expands, as the subconscious opens, we become aware of ourselves at a deeper level. And that phrase, as within, so without, is absolutely true. So the deeper we know ourselves, the deeper we see things happening about us, right? We our awareness of energy, our awareness of other people, right? You can tell when someone is telling the truth or not by how they're speaking, how they're breathing into their body, right? If they're not breathing deeply into their body, it's not their full truth because we're holding part of ourselves back. And if we can feel that in ourselves, we can see it in other people, right? So I think, I know 10, 15, 20 years ago, I had no idea how much more depth to life there was because I didn't know, right? We're not aware.
So part of you don't know what you don't know.
Right? Right, absolutely. So I didn't know you could put your awareness inside your body. I had no idea that was possible before. So that's why I'm sharing my story now. I want people to know we have so much power within us, right? Because I've actually shifted my skull bones. My eye sockets have aligned. My jaw was way off to the side. It's more in the center. My neck is straighter than it ever was because I was born with my right foot up against my right shin and it twisted my whole body. And it's straining, it's unwinding. And I've grown half an inch at 55. So if we have the power to do that inside of us, right, then why not do it?
Yeah, I'm all game for growing a half an inch taller.
I was too. I wanted to do a little bit more because I've gone from 5'4" to 5'4¾". And I want to get to 5'5". But I do think I will, because as I do more and more of this inner release work, I actually feel that my neck is straightening more. So I do think it's possible.
Well, this is definitely a very interesting topic. Do you have anything you'd like to offer our listeners today?
go ahead and check out my YouTube channel, which has a demonstration video of EFT. So you can learn it right then and there. And it has a demonstration of feeling your feelings and some other videos on there. And I have my book, A Pathway to Insight, which details the different steps that I went through and, you know, the different things I tapped on at each point. But as a mother, I would say just noticing when you're emotional and then going and tapping and coming back to peace, just try that and see what changes. And, you know, if you've got a young child, learn how to do it on your child too. Only when you're at peace, right? If you're both annoyed with each other, that's not a good time to tap on your child. So you have to come to peace first. And then you can gently tap on your child if they're willing and if you're able to. So, yeah.
Yeah, I will put links to Anne's YouTube channel and her book. Is it available on Amazon?
It is, yes.
So I will drop a link for those things in on the blog that is linked in the description of this episode. And so everything is right there for you. Thank you so much for joining me today, Anne. It has been a pleasure to speak with you, and we will talk again soon.
Great. Thank you. It's been fun.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Rise and Shine with Emily C. Before you go, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe to the podcast so you get notified when new episodes go live every week.